Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Opening tip, most memorable Harden's hit or Josh Hart's reaction? What do you guys think?
Ooh, I'm going to go with James Harden's reaction because we have all done that, right? I've done that.
I have not.
And he basically said afterwards, it was a beard. I didn't even feel it.
That's nice.
Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, and I am here with our NBA insider extraordinaire, Miss Ramona Shelburne, and of course, WNBA all-star, Chinee Ogumoke.
Glad to be here, Girl Squad. Let's go.
Exactly. You got the power trio up today. All right, coming up, we are going to talk about the reunion in Houston tonight. We have Chris Paul bringing the Thunder, yes, that's not a sentence I thought I would say last season, into Houston for the first time since he was traded. We will talk about that a little later on the show. But first, we're going to start in Northern California, where, yes, it's time to bring back, I'm just going to call it award-winning show within a show.
Yep.
These are the bays of our lives. Like sands through the hourglass, so are the bays of our lives. We are going to start in San Francisco, where things have not gone well for our heroes. The Warriors lost to the Clippers on opening night. Mm. Against the previously winless Thunder yesterday, they were down by 31 points at halftime. And Draymond and Steve Kerr, not happy. Take a listen.
The reality is we suck right now. And, you know, hopefully we'll get better. We'll continue working at it and try to get better, but we're just not that good right now. Kind of figure like, you know, it won't be the same, but I didn't think we'd be getting our ass kicked like this. It's pretty bad.
I'm looking forward to the Modelo that's waiting in my locker, and then yes, I'm looking forward to getting to New Orleans.
All right. So first of all, I hope Steve, you got your beer because after that, you needed it. Today we knew that our Bays of Our Lives crew would struggle to replace one of their main characters that was written out to another role in Brooklyn. We know that Clay is still hurt, Kevon Looney, Willie Cauley-Stein still out. But have we gotten to the point where the issues with the Warriors supersede just their injuries?
I do think so. And defense has always been an issue, especially when it comes to the paint. Draymond Green, even though he's the Defensive Player of the Year, he's 6'5", 6'6". And so now their paint is extremely vulnerable. And you see so many players, we saw this in the preseason when they first played the Lakers, are attacking the rim at will. Opponents are putting up 130 on them. I think in the 35 seasons we've recorded stats, this is the worst 0-2 start we've ever seen. When you have a Draymond Green who's great, it doesn't take away from the fact that, like, okay, when you don't have Klay Thompson on the perimeter, Sean Livingston on the perimeter, even Iggy on the perimeter, you are just absolutely more vulnerable despite your resume, you know, as a defensive stopper. So for the Warriors, I'd be extremely concerned. You see, like, their efficiency. This is not what we're used to.
Chinee, they were playing zone yesterday. They had to play zone because it was the only defense that they could play that resembled anything called defense.
Right.
When they would play something else called defense, that was not defense. That was like, here, you get a basket. I mean, the Warriors on opening night looked as bad as you could look. And we all kind of said, you know what? It's one game and the Clippers
are
really
good. And against the Clippers, right.
No, they might actually be this bad. And I think it was dawning on a lot of us as we started to watch them in the preseason. And I'm one of those card-carrying members of the, don't underestimate the heart of a champion. I think maybe on this show I started to think that I may have actually publicly said that they could be in the finals.
You said that they
could
be in the finals this year.
We're going to have to walk that back
this year.
We're going to have to walk that back, right? Because one of the things that is abundantly clear when you watch the Warriors, when you're around the Warriors, is that the players in Warriors jerseys right now are not the Warriors. There is very little muscle memory on that team of how the Warriors have played for the past 5 years. There are 9 players out of the 15 on that roster that are 23 years old or younger.
That's what I was going to say. So there's 6 guys who are in their first or second year.
Yeah.
So that is beginner's basketball, right?
Yep.
And obviously so many key pieces from this run. And it's interesting because we saw the Warriors do what they did the last five years, and teams try to catch up or emulate them. And what we kept saying is, not everyone can do what the Warriors do because they just didn't have the personnel.
Right.
Well, now the Warriors also don't have the personnel, and they can't do what they used to do. Strong words, by the way, there from Draymond and Steve Kerr. As a player, Chinee, what do you do if you are a vet, if you're a Draymond on this team, and you want to be able we've had two podiums worth now of him with the cursing and the upsetness.
Yes.
But what can he, because we know he's a really good leader, what can he actually do about it in the locker room?
He's not a one-man band, though. And it's sort of like I'm getting the whole it's above me now vibes. Like, this might be above me. We need to have, we need to go back to that whole mindset of, like, it's training camp. We're at point one, square one. D'Angelo Russell, not necessarily known as a perimeter stopper. Steph Curry, not necessarily known as a perimeter stopper. So for Draymond to even operate, it's just so much more challenging. And it's hard when you want to tell people, hey, this is how we play defense, when you're trying to find the new way you play defense yourself.
Right.
So yeah, I think you just have to go back to square one and say, this is how we're going to play basketball. Maybe we're just going to ice screens and do that really well and then build off of it.
So I think when you watch them and when you're around them, what's abundantly clear is that the systems and the way they used to play don't exist anymore. They have to find a new system. And, this was the test for the Warriors. Is that Warriors system going to be the next Spurs system? Is that Warriors culture going to be the next Spurs culture? That's what I think is in front of them right now and what they have to figure out, because you used to be able to say, okay, Steph Curry's out a couple of games with an ankle injury. That's okay. We can plug Quinn Cook in because he knows how to run what we play. They don't have that anymore. They don't have enough players who actually know how they play.
Right. They do still have who we consider the greatest shooter of all time in his prime. They still do have a former Defensive Player of the Year who we know is a glue guy. They do still have a foot coach who will be in the Hall of Fame who's got 8 rings on his fingers for being a player and a coach. So if you look at them as a team, not that lost, that won over the last 5 years off and on, but it's just a team in the NBA, they have a lot of good pieces still. Just as you say, we have to see if they can figure out how to way to make everybody else in that system catch up. It's going to be interesting, almost like a soap opera. We'll see. Let's get back to the Thunder, though, because after that game against the Warriors, they travel to face the Rockets tonight, which means guess who's coming to dinner in Houston? Yep, Chris Paul will be in the building for the first time since being traded, and it'll be Russ's first game against the only other NBA team he has ever played for. So, Ramona, what are your expectations for this game tonight?
I don't know if I'm feeling the whole Chris Paul revenge game. You feeling that? Like, if this game was in Oklahoma City, it would be a different story. I think this would be a heartwarming story of Russ coming back. I think he'd be warmly embraced by the fans there. Chris Paul, I don't know if he was there long enough for them to have a very visceral reaction. Plus, they upgraded. They got Russell Westbrook. So I think it'll be a big deal for Chris Paul. But I don't know if it's a big deal for the two teams.
You're absolutely right. I'm from the 281, the 832, the 713 from Houston, Texas. And my big sis, NECA, she's been a Fairweather Rockets fan because they've only made it past the second round, third round a couple times, right? She's always liked the Rockets. She loves this team. There's just a different vibe and energy around the Houston Rockets now. And it's funny because if I told you that James Harden went 2-for-18 from three, we'd be like, oh, the Rockets must have lost. They must have got blown out. No, they won. They won. Russ went 1-for-3 from three. This might be the team that actually is built to sustain poor shooting nights just because of their tenacity. And also, they might have an underrated bench. Eric Gordon's still coming off the bench. 4 other players outside of James and Russ were in double digits. So, I'm looking at this Rocket team. It's tough to be Chris Paul in this situation. But I feel like there's a lot of positivity happening on both ends. But in Houston, I think the energy is for sure real.
Right. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be a big Chris Paul homecoming game.
Mm-hmm.
It could feel like a revenge game to him because he thought that he was coming to Houston from L.A. To be part of this team for what that contract he signed for? 4 plus an option, right? For a lot of years. And instead, he was dealt off to a rebuilding team. So we'll have to see what his energy is like tonight. I'm very curious. I'm sure that they will do something nice for him. I don't think any of the fans will be weeping at the sight of Chris Paul again, but I think that he is probably very focused on doing well. I want to get you guys about the Timberwolves, too, because they are off to a very impressive start out West. They are 3-0 after a win Sunday over Miami. Andrew Wiggins scoring 16 points in the final 6 minutes of that game alone. Now, if you remember back during training camp, Karl-Anthony Towns said folks should not sleep on Minnesota this season. Kendrick Perkins reacted to that right here on The Jump. Take a listen.
Karl-Anthony Towns, guess what? I'm sleeping, and I'm sleeping with the AC on 60 and the box fan blowing in my face, because guess what? I don't believe you. Listen, they gave you you and Wiggins all the praise. They gave y'all the money. They gave y'all the coaching change. They got Jimmy Butler out of there. It's time to put up and shut up.
Kendrick got a lot of attention for those comments. The Timberwolves social media folks did not forget, tweeting, quote, sleep tight, Kendrick Perkins, with the West standing, showing Minnesota atop the conference. Now, Kendrick, not unnerved, he responded with a sleeping emoji. And then Karl Anthony Towns chimed in, tweeting, quote, hope your AC broke, referring to Kendrick's quote. Kendrick followed with, I'll just borrow the money from Tibbs or
that
Jimmy
is a heck of a
to fix it.
I'm here for this.
Yes.
Janae, you were there for the original petty from Kendrick Perkins that day. So talk to me. Is it time to stop sleeping on the Timberwolves?
First of all, what Perk was saying had us all rolling. But I'm proud to say that I'm right. I was right. I think that this season it will go as far as Karl Anthony Towns goes. Right now he's averaging 32, 13, 5, 3 steals, 2 blocks. This team will go as he goes. And right now, is he not the MVP favorite? I know it's a small sample size.
Oh,
we've got 3 games. But what
everybody
I'm saying
wants
is
to be MVP
the
this
list.
Morning.
Yes. You know, outside,
here's what he is.
His team
he
is undefeated.
Just named Conference Player of the Week.
Thank
you. There you go. Let's start there.
Yes, precisely. But after week one, when we start these lists, he's at the top. They're undefeated. He's giving you 30 and 13, and they're playing great basketball. But on the other end, what I'm really proud of is Andrew Wiggins. And I saw it was funny. They put Andre Wiggins. That was a little subliminal. But when he hit those 3 threes, it was so amazing to see his teammates just run and just support him. Mm-hmm. Because we all have questioned how engaged is he when he plays. And just to see that he's ready to make this next step and to see a team that really just gets surrounded by, you know, the upcoming talent of these two guys, I was just really thrilled to see on the outside Wiggins and on the inside Karl Anthony Towns to hold it down.
Like, there's no excuses for them anymore. I don't think it's a big enough sample size for us to say anything about the Timberwolves other than they've gotten off to a nice start. I've known that Karl can put up really good stats in the past. That has never been a question with him. The question is, do those stats translate into winning? And I think right now they are. It's a good start, but there's no excuses in that. Okay, it's not Tibbs' fault anymore. It's not Jimmy's fault anymore. This is your team now. This is Karl's team. This is Andrew's team. And they're going to go as they go. And I think they've empowered them to be the leaders of this team. Let's see if they can lead more than just in these first 3 games.
It's also Ryan Saunders' team. And look, he did coach for half the season last year. So it's not like this is his first 3 games. But it seems like, at least so far, he has gotten guys to buy in since training camp. And what you pointed out about all the teammates rushing Andrew Wiggins, I think that's important. Because the bottom line is, Karl Anthony Towns can play his head off on an island, and if it's just him, I'm not sure that as he goes goes the Timberwolves season. They need Andrew Wiggins to be a different kind of player consistently than he has been. We don't usually see a player change with that consistency in their 6th or 7th season, but hey, if they can get him to do it, he's got the talent.
Yep.
So to me, that is going to be the biggest thing to watch. We got so much more coming up on The Jump. Coming up, Frank Vogel is not ruling Boogie Cousins out from returning to the Lakers at some point. But is it realistic for Cousins to push for a return this season? We got the Lakers expert to my left, so we will get to that.
To make or miss league.
Thank you, Patrick Beverly. Hey, it's the New Look Clippers. Make Scarface! Coach Eric Spoelstra, let's just say he's unhappy with the officiating down the stretch. He's pointing at each official. He's got some words we can't say on TV.
Yes. Whoa.
It's a lot. Now, remember, Joe Noah did something pretty similar back in 2014, right? What did you think of watching Spo get heated there, Ramona?
Definitely Spo's better because he uses both hands.
Oh.
You see that?
Good.
That hand and that hand.
And you.
Two hands. At the same time.
I am curious. Bradley Beal got ejected the other night for, like, doing this. So I'm curious if there's going to be any follow-up on
this.
This
is one hand there. So I like this.
And one, two. Miss caution! This is my favorite make miss of the day, because Friday night, Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, I know where this is
jumps
going. Oh my gosh.
Into the stands right in front of our. Okay, look at my face. What did you think as this man was hurtling toward you?
I took so much slander. Everyone was like, Janae, you're talking trash. You're doing this. You're doing that. You didn't help him. That camera angle missed the fact that I had my hand around his waist, kept him from falling.
Did you really?
And I was like, you need to be safe. And he got
him. I think we might need to do one of those jump CSI forensic investigations.
Yes,
because I see no hand around my waist.
No, it's true. It's true. And after he hit me up and he was like, I'm sorry for almost killing you.
There you go. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell.
He's a good dude, though.
Always polite. Make heels. Saturday night, the Suns beat up on the Clippers, and Phoenix really let Pat Bev know about it. The bench waved to him when he fouled out in the 4th quarter.
Ramona, where does Patrick Beverly rank on the league's villains right now?
You're asking the 5'2" girl whether Patrick Beverly is a villain?
It's
a hero to all square people.
But
come on.
What I mean, like a wrestling heel kind of. Sort of way, right?
I don't know. Look, he dishes out the most trash talk in the league, so when it comes back around on him, he probably enjoys it.
Well, yeah, there you go. He's been doing plenty in the first couple games, so maybe in the third.
Draymond used to have that title, but you got to be on a winning team now.
The other night when he was...
Oh, I'm sorry. It just got very cold in the studio.
I just came with a little subliminal. But I love Draymond.
Warriors fans are the night where you guys going.
Posterity. Kings Jazz. Donovan Mitchell hitting the deck. Donovan Mitchell has not had the best
weekend. I know, right?
The ball drops directly below the belt, let's say, and then over in Oklahoma City, Steph delivers a punch to that same region. Ooh. Now, again, he's, Terrence Ferguson. So which was worse?
I would say that Donovan's was worse because, you know, when you lay down on the court as a player and you just are chilling and then the ball
rest for a second.
It comes out of nowhere, gut punch, that one, Donovan's was worse.
He wasn't even looking. I mean, he's like looking up.
Bum's way.
I mean, he's like, he's just trying to catch a rest
for a
second.
Not nice on the bench after that. I mean, he was fine, but Joe Engel was really amused by this. And if Donovan needs to get him back at some point, maybe he does. Make execution. Nets, Grizzlies. Grizz down 2 in the closing seconds. Memphis runs a perfect play. Frees up Jay Crowder for the winner. John Morant, really great game. I think he dropped 30 in this game. And
the
you have this little NCAA remix here, right? Because it's a little bit like Villanova. Watch this. Boom.
Beautiful.
That is...
Perfect time, perfect awareness.
Right? And these Nets games, man, I think we've now had 3 in a row.
They're fun.
Coming down to the wire. This team is... Brooklyn is fun to watch.
Might be fight with them.
Katie was right, I guess.
I'll give them that. I do want to get to Dwight Howard, who played a key role in the Lakers' second win of the season last night. Dwight Howard scored 16 points on a perfect 8-for-8 from the field off the bench to go along with 10 rebounds, 4 blocks... in just 23 minutes. Ramona, when we started the season, I pointed out that hell has not frozen over, but Dwight Howard is playing for the Lakers again. So I'm supposed to ask you if you're surprised about this or people around the team are surprised, but I mean, it's a little surprising.
If you asked me in 2012 if I would have been surprised that he comes back and has something, a game like this or a run like this, the answer is absolutely yes. But after the way he worked out for them over the summer, how he's been in the preseason, the attitude he showed, which is essentially like, I will do what you guys need me to do, which is just rebound and block shots, play some defense. This is, if he would have just done this in 2012, this would have been everything the Lakers wanted from him. Just do your job. Just do what you're great at, which is play defense, rebound, block shots. But he didn't do that in 2012.
Yeah, well, you know, seeing that I was at the Jazz game, after the game, both he and Quinn Cook stayed on the floor right after during media availability and were shooting. And that told me, Dwight Howard's focused. And the fact that he's plus 23 when the Lakers are playing in a big lineup, that is a good sign. Because I think the question is, everyone's saying AD needs to play the 5 and surround him with shooters, get LeBron in the off ball. But if you get production like that, plus 23 from Dwight on 8-for-8 from the field, that is something that you really, really, it's a luxury. It's honestly a luxury because he's a rim protector as well.
And the question is, how long does JaVale McGee start?
I don't know. I mean, one of the things, too, is that they did switch AD to the 5 during that Jazz game, right?
Yep.
And what they both said, both Anthony Davis and Frank Vogel said afterward was when he needs to.
When he needs to.
Yep.
He doesn't want to do it a lot, but when he needs to, they'll move him there while Dwight Howard is making them need to less, which will preserve AD for later in the season. I also want to update DeMarcus Cousins' situation. After he tore his ACL this offseason, there were concerns that his pileup of injuries would be so much, he might never play again, right? But our Dave McMenamin posted this video of Boogie shooting around yesterday. And Frank Vogel said before the game, the Lakers have, quote, not closed the door on a possible return for him. Now, there is also the issue of the misdemeanor domestic violence charge he's facing after allegedly threatening his ex-girlfriend during a phone call this summer. And that's a situation the NBA is still investigating. So, Ramona, given all of these pieces, what do you expect to happen here?
Yeah, I can't really see him playing this year for the Lakers. He, as you mentioned, he does have the domestic violence investigation that's ongoing. The Lakers have publicly said that they're cooperating with that investigation. They also applied for a disabled player exception for him. And there are some incentives for them to use that, because if they either waive him at a certain point or trade him, If they waive him, they have more money to use in the buyout market than just the veteran minimum, the prorated veteran minimum. That gives them an advantage over other teams on whoever might be bought out. So I think there's an incentive there.
Andre Iguodala, you're hoping for.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just that something caught in my throat.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Achilles, ACL, mm-hmm. quad, all under 2 years, I wouldn't even try to put this narrative out there, mm-hmm. just myself knowing what it's like to come back from an injury. But even if they play without him this year, think about it. Say they fall short of the championship, the ability to have him come back as like, okay, we're going to run it back and we have this too, is nice. So I would not put any pressure. They have tremendous depth at the center position already. We were just talking about it. I think Boogie needs to just take care of himself. That's it.
Yeah, I heard Frank's quote and thought, that's nice. He's giving Boogie hope, right? Like, that's a coach just saying, yeah, keep trying. But I think organizationally, that's not really in the plans.
Interesting. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about the Suns because they handed the Clippers their first loss of the season on Saturday. Is this win something, nothing, or everything for the Valley Boys in Phoenix? Stay tuned. You're watching The Jump. How many more Z's can we fit in that? I think we can fit some more.
Yeah, a lot.
Welcome back to The Jump alongside Ramona Shelburne, Chinne Igumike. I'm Rachel Nichols. It's time for a segment we like to call Something, Nothing, or Everything. Doesn't our fancy new graphics package make something, nothing,
lovely,
or everything look good? First, despite a near triple-double from Kawhi Leonard, the Phoenix Suns became the first team to beat the NBA Finals favorite Clips. The Suns put up 130 on that defense despite no DeAndre Ayton, no Ricky Rubio. Producer Schwartz, researcher producer Michael Schwartz is like still hyperventilating. He's so happy. So are the Suns beating the Clippers, Chinne? Something, nothing, or everything?
It's something. Anytime the Suns, the Phoenix Suns, get a quality win, it's absolutely something. And I actually really like this squad. Like, as a sneaky pick, I mean, not to come into playoffs, no offense, but just as a sneaky someone that can upset your team, just because I like Kelly Oubre. He fits here. He's giving you, like, 20 points per game. Devin Booker, he only hit 6 threes. When he gives you 30, how many do you expect? Maybe 10 of them to be threes?
Right.
So, yeah, I like this team as, like, a, you know, sneaky type of team to compete.
I think it's something as well. Monty Williams has done a pretty good job getting his system installed there. And also, I thought it was a statement win for them after the DeAndre Ayton suspension.
Yep.
Like, that was how, okay, Ayton gets suspended, 25 games. That's a huge setback. And then, boom, next game out, you go and beat the Clippers, who a lot of us were starting to feel were the best team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, there was a question of, what, how many wins are the Clippers going to run off to start the season?
Yep.
Yeah. We've seen records like that, right? And they still could go on a run, but obviously, that was impressive. I do wonder the reaction to Ayton. We see sometimes, like, right out of the gate, a team that suffered a loss, a major injury, a guy suspended.
They were out of viewing effect.
We are playing with that energy. Monty Williams, as you said, such a good coach. I am curious. 25 games is a long time, so I am curious to see how it lasts. But, hey, Phoenix fans, they've been starving for a long time. Any good win is a good win. Next, let's talk about John Wall's shoe deal because it could be nearing an end. Industry sources telling ESPN the injured Wizards star and Adidas are negotiating a buyout less than 2 years into his 5-year, $25 million deal. So here he is today. He's working out in Kobe 4s. That's a Nike shoe. Wall hasn't played since December 26th. Ramona, is this something, nothing, or everything?
I'm going to say this is kind of everything. I mean, what's the line? Three-stripe life? I mean, but, like, not for life, I guess? Is that, I don't know. I'm just looking. I don't want to look over there. Are you wearing?
You see what happened with.
I was going to say.
No heels today.
Isn't that what's supposed to happen? You sign a contract, and if you, it's
well,
for better or worse?
Well, I don't know whose side this is on. What's your take?
I say this is nothing on the other end of the spectrum just because, you know, I can speak from my personal experience as an athlete at Adidas. They've been great with me. But I do understand John Wall's predicament considering that he's injured and I've dealt with injuries and it's really hard to convey your value and worth and be able to do things for a brand when you're in that position. So it's tough. Hopefully it's mutual.
I was surprised to see this news just because Adidas has a history with sticking guys even if they get hurt. Derrick Rose's contract with Adidas currently runs through 2025. Obviously he had years where he was struggling with injuries. He had years where he seemed to be struggling with whether he wanted to stay with the teams he was on, things like that. And that partnership stayed strong. And he just had this very triumphant Adidas tour in China, right, that we saw during the offseason. So I'm curious on whose side this breakup started to happen. We'll have to see if it happens. But, Chinne, you know that if you're wearing the shoes you're not supposed to be wearing from the other brand you're not supposed to be wearing, that's
a big
deal.
Probably over already.
It's a big deal. Next, let's talk about James Harden. This is a sentence I don't expect to say for long. But for right now, after the first few games, he is ice cold from three-point range. In those two games, he's made 3 of 26 from behind the arc, including 2 of 18 in the game against New Orleans, although the Rockets did win that game. This is his worst stretch of shooting since, let's see, he shot 3 for 31 in a 3-game run last February. Janae, are Harden struggles something, nothing, or everything?
They're everything.
Really?
They're everything, but obviously with a positive spin, because if this is a team, okay, if this is a team that can sustain James Harden not shooting the ball well, this is the best team that can contend for a championship, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Again, Russell Westbrook, I think that's the number one question they asked. Will he be able to space the floor for James Harden to work? And both of them sort of have struggled from three. So for them to still find a way to get a win, if you heard them after the game, like, it was ugly, but it was worth it. James is not the guy that really gives you much in media. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's like, oh, my beard, making jokes, like, the bromance is real. So, yeah, this is everything, because if they can sustain an off James Harden night, maybe that means they can sustain enough to win in the playoffs.
I just can't get over that stat line from the other.
Right?
He took 18 threes.
Well, that part should not surprise
you. Yeah, that's 18.
Okay, seriously.
A whole team right there.
That is a whole team.
That 18 part should not surprise you after James Harden's last few seasons.
That's normal.
Do I need to show you some usage stats?
Right, we've made our peace with that in Houston.
the thing about the Rockets that I've been impressed, I've been drawn more to Mike D'Antoni's quote from earlier in the week where he said, we're the 6 seconds or less Rockets.
Yes.
And I think that is what you do to mitigate anything with threes, because he's never worried about how many threes they make or what percentage they make. It's about how many you take, because as long as they shoot 30%, as long as they take a certain number, and Mike always has a certain number in his head of like, mm-hmm, as long as we take that many threes, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because 3 is greater than 2, and we all know that whole Rockets math.
Yes.
But for them to be the 6 seconds or less Rockets.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, Jack McCallum can come write another
book,
exactly. Right? But that is a whole new dimension to their offense, because as we know, last year they were one of the slowest paced teams in the league.
That's what happens when you add Russell Westbrook, man. Head of fire coming to the net. One player who is shooting better than Harden right now. Is Markelle Fultz, though. I want to give him his props, because the number one former overall pick made not one, but 2 3-pointers on Saturday against Atlanta, the 5th and 6th 3-pointers of his career. So, Ramona, is Markelle's first multi-3-point made basket game something, nothing, or everything?
Okay, I can do wordplay, too.
Okay.
I think everything is something with Markelle Fultz.
There you go.
All right. You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, when you watch the highlight of it, I mean, he's still a little tentative with that stroke there. It's not exactly a quick release, but he's taking them and he's making them. That is something when it comes to Markelle Fultz and his history of not taking or making much of anything.
Here's what they count. They count it when it goes in the hoop.
Amen.
They don't count it how fast you get it off. As long as you are getting it over the defender, that's all that matters.
And can we see those game shots again? Because, guys, the NBA is an extremely disrespectful place.
Yes. Yeah.
No one was near him.
Correct.
No one was near him. And the fact that, hey, he caught the ball, check it out. No one near him.
Oh, my gosh.
Shot it in rhythm. No hitch, nothing. Everything, in my opinion. Again, another look.
I would say no hitch.
No, it was slow. Let's talk about where, start from the bottom, now we're here.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So, like, this is everything, because he's playing with confidence. I've loved the dunk he had in game one. Like, this is the new version of Markelle Fultz we've been waiting for.
Look, people who watch the show a lot know that when it comes to situations like this, like Dwight Howard, like Markelle Fultz, the thing I sort of say at the end of every highlight or low light that we show is, hey, people in the NBA want this person to succeed because it's a good story when someone struggles and then is able to come back and lift themselves up from it. It's a reason why we like sports. It's the reason we like our kids to like sports, right? To show them that example. I am really happy for Markelle Fultz, and I hope this continues. I don't need him to be perfect.
Yep.
I'm glad people are giving him room right now because it means that he can get some confidence under him. The NBA is a better place if more players are playing better, and that's just more fun for all of us. So I'm thrilled that he's doing well right now. We'll see if it continues. Coming up, let's talk about Kyrie, because he needs no confidence boost at all. Ooh. He's already had a 50-point game. He had a 37-point night, and that's just week one of his Nets career.
Ooh.
We'll talk about how long he can keep the pace. Hey, look, here's what The Jump recommends. I know who wrote this. It's ESPN.com's star Ramona Shelburne about how the newness in Golden State, from the arena to the roster, may start a long process of recreation for the Warriors. On Wednesday, exclusively on ESPN Plus, catch a new episode of The Boardroom, Kevin Durant, with special guest Stephen A. Smith. Not going to want to miss this one. ESPN Plus. All right, let's talk about KD's teammate, Kyrie Irving, averaging more than 37 points a game. That's the second best in the league. The Nets, however, lost a tough one to Memphis on Sunday. It was their second overtime loss of the season. Now look, Janae, he is so much fun to watch in these games, but how long do we think Kyrie Irving can really keep up the pace of this?
I don't think he's going to be averaging 37 points per game the whole season, but I do think that that killer Kyrie, that highlights Kyrie is back. Mm-hmm. Just seeing, like, the reverse layup he hit with his crazy balance. This has gotcha. Mm-hmm. Like, this is so much fun to see him operate in space, and I was wondering, why does he feel like he has new life? I think this is the first team where he knows he's alpha. Meaning in Cleveland, he played with LeBron. In Boston, Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum, Al Horford.
Still the star,
he was alpha,
the poster
but,
there.
But the mindset of his teammates were like, I'm alpha too. Right. This is the first team where he knows he's number one option and no one else questions it. That's why you're seeing him erupt for 50. I think those game-winning shots will start to go down even more as he, you know, he explores his game. But right now, Kyrie Irving is back, and it's fun, especially with the highlights.
I feel like I've seen some of those shots before.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've seen some of these stats before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kyrie's averaging 37, but how many shots is he taking to every game?
There's a lot.
Is this reminding you a little of, like, Pete Kobe? Of, like, Kobe on the team where he just went for 50 every night because he kind of had to, mm-hmm. right? Like, taking 26 field goal attempts a game, I think... That's high. That's Kobe Bryant kind of territory. And that is a guy who grew up watching. That is a guy that he grew up emulating. High usage rate. I don't know if the Nets are going to want to play this way the whole time.
That was my question, right? Because there's certain times, certainly during Pete Kobe, as you say, where we know he felt he had to take all the shots. There were points last season where James Harden, they had so many injuries on that team.
Yep.
His usage rate was incredibly high. And then even once they got people back, obviously, we know how that whole season played out. The Nets culture that Kyrie Irving came to was a little bit more of a collective together kumbaya culture. Now, D'Angelo Russell obviously had a great season. They're trying to integrate Caris LeVert back into there. I am curious how they want to play going forward, but I do think you're right that even in Kenny Atkinson's wildest dreams of team concept, Kyrie is still the alpha, right? He's still the guy who can go get you the shot. He can go lead the team. And it's exciting for their fans, too, right, to have a guy like this. I've had so much fun watching him as a League Pass viewer. So, someone who isn't getting their shots taken away from them, I'm happy he's doing it. And we'll have to see how everybody else feels. I want to talk about the flip side, though, of yesterday's game. Because against the Nets, Ja Morant was great on Sunday. Ooh. 30 points, 9 assists. Clutch down the stretch, made the really smart play that ended up leading to the shot that won the game. But also, we have undrafted Kendrick Nunn you're watching highlights of because he has been the surprise rookie so far. He is leading the Heat in scoring with Jimmy Butler still out. So, Ramona, which rookie had the more impressive debut week?
Okay, so I usually root for the story.
Yes.
And obviously, Nunn is the better story here because none of us, like, thought that was going to be the guy. If anything, you thought Tyler Hero was going to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
In Miami. So that's the better story. But Ja Morant has been unbelievable. I mean, and I'm feeling pretty good about that rookie of the year pick right now.
Yeah, I like Nunn, but I do like Ja just a little bit more because we sort of expected the Heat to make some waves, no pun intended, in the Eastern Conference. But we didn't expect this from Memphis. And I really like this team. And it's all the Jays. You see the shot from Jay Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes,
and I like Ja Morant. And Ja Morant, what he's able to do, like, to be a point guard and score, but also give the assist of the night, he just has so much it seems like he plays with experience and poise, and this is just game, 2-3 for
him. This is very impressive core rebuilding for Memphis, right, considering how reluctant they were to let go of sort of the last wisps of grit and grind because they don't historically attract free agents, right? And they want to keep their fan base, TV contracts, all of that kind of stuff. They are a fun, exciting team to watch. And it is one more team in the West where there's not a night off against, right? I mean, we're just seeing the Suns beat the Clippers yesterday. There is not a team right now in the West where I can say, easy W, right? And the fact that Memphis has become a team you can't say that against either is impressive. We'll see how long it lasts. You've got a lot of young players there who might start to hit that wall, but fun to watch right now. Coming up, let's talk about another youngster making noise. Trae Young leading the league in scoring. He got a tough challenge versus the Sixers tonight. So is it too soon for Ice Trae to be dubbed, we think he's going to be an East All-Star? Someone in the newsroom wanted to make an MVP this morning.
I am not
going to tell tales on who it is, but
name them.
You know who you are, producer Jesse.
This
week's NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with a great Eastern Conference matchup between the Bucks and the Celtics, 7:30 Eastern. Then it's the Jazz hosting the Clippers. You know that's going to be good. Let's see if Donovan Mitchell goes flying anywhere on that one.
Oh, yeah,
our coverage
I'm not
begins
be
with Stephen A's pregame sports center, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app. And now it's crunch time on The Jump. Welcome to the NBA Taco Fall chance of We Want Taco by the MSG crowd. We're answered with 4 minutes left in the game this weekend. Taco was 2 for 4 in his debut. Okay. I'm supposed to ask you guys when the taco excitement will wear off, but it's not going
to.
It's
not going
because
anywhere.
He's amazing.
I mean, you still get excited when Boban is out there playing. Yes. It's the same thing.
Yes. And he's tall and all of the things he is physically, but his joy for the game to me.
Yeah, and he's really a two-way player, so like you gotta celebrate every time he gets meaningful NBA minutes.
Mm-hmm. And he laid that in. He didn't
leave
dunk
his feet
it.
Yeah. at all. Russell Westbrook passing Magic Johnson on the all-time triple-double list Saturday. Russ had 28, 10, and 13 in the win over the Pelicans. Now he still trails Oscar by 42 for the career mark, but man, he's on him. Today, do you still think Westbrook's triple-double pace will slow down in Houston?
No.
Or do you think, like, this is what we're going to see from him?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll average a triple-double, but what I really like about this, like, seeing that he's number two now, is that it's like a pinch-me moment. Like, this man will be the all-time leader in triple-doubles by the time he's done. So now celebrate it and enjoy it, because he's normalized the triple-double. It's wild.
Yeah. So I always thought his triple-doubles would continue in Houston, because he's never been surrounded with shooters like he is there, and those guys actually make it. The only thing I wonder is the assist and rebound.
He's not necessarily going to get every rebound.
Yeah, he didn't have Steven Adams to get out of the way.
Before. I mean, the points issue part isn't under his control. I mean, the thing in Oklahoma City is that every part of that box score was pretty much under Westbrook's control, because everybody on the team deferred to him, as they should have for his place on the team last season. That is not going to be the case this season, but I think we're still going to see a lot from him.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I want to get to a controversial ending from the Blazers-Mavs game last night. This was inside the final 10 seconds of the game. The Mavs were down 1. Dame Lillard called for a foul on Dorian Finney-Smith, which would have led to 2 free throws, given the Mavs the opportunity to take a lead. However, Terry Stotts challenged the play, and the challenge was successful. It led to a jump ball at midcourt. Kristaps Porzingis, look here, accidentally tapping the ball to Portland, and they held on for the win. Now, after the game, Mark Cuban expressed frustration on Twitter, quote, "I'm a fan of the NBA challenge rule, but if a play is overturned and they don't show the replay that justifies overturning a call along with an explanation, it's going to have real problems. From the angles we saw in the arena, it looked like a clean strip, but body contact first." He continued, "Fans in our arena have no idea why the foul was overturned." And then he responded to the official NBA ref Twitter account, "How can a judgment that was body contact deemed marginal be considered clear and conclusive? If it were clear and conclusive, nothing would have to be deemed. Correct?" So Mark Cuban has all kinds of energy. CJ McCollum had a little bit of energy responding to Cuban with this, "Good defense, clean strip. Review worked in our favor tonight. I'm sure it'll come back around from y'all." So, look, Janae, how do you feel about Mark Cuban? Multiple tweets, including at the refs after the game, which, I mean, why should anything be different on Twitter than in real life?
You know, I'm not mad at this. I like this. I like this engagement, because the NBA has been the best professional league at being transparent with their calls. So why make a Twitter account where you can't have dialogue? Like, that's the whole point of it. And I do like the coach's challenge as well, because, you know, the worst case scenario is sitting in the locker room like, well, man, if they got this and they got that. Well, you actually have an ability, and I like saving it to the end. You have an ability to really make sure that the game is going down the way it should go down. Now, again, the ball bounces both ways. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll come back in the Mavs' favor.
I'm fine with Mark's first point, too, that they could show it and explain things to fans in the arena, because I'm sure those fans are wondering what happened, right? And the people at home are going to see things that they're not going to see. But I actually like the coach's challenge, too, and I love this one, because Terry Stotts said after the game, I was reading a Tim McMahon story about this, he said, you know, "I've said to my players, when we have a coach's challenge, you have to be honest with me, okay? Everybody thinks that they didn't foul.
Everybody thinks they fouled.
I didn't foul.
Good luck.
Said, if I'm going to use that challenge, you had better tell me the truth. And Dame Lillard said, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't foul.
I got it clean.
And afterwards, all Dame wanted to talk about it. See, I told you I didn't foul. I love that.
I am curious, by the way, is Mark Cuban talk to his own in-game arena video crew,
yeah.
right? Because if those replays are available on TV, maybe they could show them more in the arena. I know sometimes teams are a little reluctant to show fans a challenge or something
yeah.
they don't win,
yeah.
right? So, or a foul that they didn't. So we'll see. What happens there? I want to get to our League Pass game of the night. Features two undefeated teams, the Sixers and the Hawks. Joel Embiid listed as questionable after missing Saturday's game with a sprained right ankle. And on the other side, Trae Young, the newly named Eastern Conference Player of the Week, looks to continue his scoring binge he's been on early this season. He is leading the NBA, 38.5 points per game in the early going. Producer Jesse was like, is he the lead All-Star MVP candidate? I was like, let's have a discussion about All-Star. I'm not sure anybody is the lead MVP candidate two or three games in, but how do you feel about an All-Star spot in the East?
Yeah, in the East. I mean,
there's still good players in the East.
There's still good players in the East, but I was always pretty bullish on the Hawks this year because I think they've done things right. This is what happens when you don't just outright tank.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that they competed at the end of last year, that they didn't just go and try to bottom out because they wanted their young players to compete and to try to win games. And yeah, they ended up with a higher draft pick, but then they ended up trading down into the top five again.
In all MVP conversation fairness, we start the list week one, week two, week three, but
we
I do
not start the list.
No, we do make the list. NBA.com, their list. But
I buy
Trae Young as an all-star because all he has to do is get them past 29 wins, which is looking like they could be on pace for this year. So if they win more and he continues at this pace, I'm all in.
I think that would be a great story if he's able to make the All-Star game by midseason. We don't have to. The MVP list does not start yet. Everyone just hold their horses, please. I don't know. This is just
people go click on it, Rach.
At the buzzer. At the top of the show, we told you about Kendrick Perkins sleeping on the Timberwolves. Well, he just tweeted after the Players of the Week came out, quote, well deserved to both Kat and Trae Young. Both guys have been killing it in opening week of the NBA. And then he called out the Timberwolves and he said, got my box fan on, but just turned it down to level 2. So this is, again, if you missed the beginning of the show, early in the training camp, Karl-Anthony Towns said, don't sleep on the Timberwolves this season. Kendrick Perkins came on the jump and said, oh, I am so sleeping on them. Call me, wake me up for the playoffs if you do something. I got the AC on. It's cool. I'm dead out of sleep. And now he's saying, huh? Maybe just
low.
The AC isn't on anymore, just the little Bucks fan.
I got a fan.
How long do you think till Kendrick is ready to all the way just turn off the...
Not to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not to the playoffs.
It's also winter. He's not going to need an air conditioner. I mean...
Well, come on. Just give the Timberwolves something.
Give him some love.
Okay. Midseason.
There you go. Good for all of them. Thank you to these two for joining me today.
Oh, let's shoot.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Shoot.
Oh.